The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, August 13th, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to worship here at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Let us pray. Father Almighty and Eternal God, whose glory we find revealed in the person of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is in his name that we come to worship and honor you this day. Claiming the sacrifice of your Son, we stand before you as redeemed people, justified and sanctified in his name. Be with us here this morning as we offer our prayers and praise in supplication. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Announcing peace proclaimed. find today's reading in Romans. It is chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. The word of God for the people of God.
We're traveling down this Roman road for the last few weeks and a few more weeks to come. And as we go with Paul down this journey of faith, and as he instructs this early congregation and church at Rome, which was house churches, they would take these letters around and share them and read them in different places and settings. And Paul is his work. This is his crowning achievement, this book of Romans. It's to Jews, it's to Gentiles. And if you continue to read here in chapter 10, it'll talk about the Jews and the Gentiles and salvation to all. And Paul here comes to a place that we may need to find ourselves today. The sermon that is entitled Saved, the Good News. Saved, hyphen, the Good News. Now, when we talk about being saved, that's sort of, you know, that's one of our Christian sayings, isn't it? Saved. What are you saved from? Sky's falling. Look at the sun that's too bright. What are we saved from? You need to understand that you aren't saved from something. You're saved into something. Okay? That's important. That's an important difference. Saved from something, I could tell you this afternoon, don't eat anything with mayonnaise on it that's been on the dash of the truck for 4 hours. That might save you from having a little stomach problem later. You know, that's saving you from something. And I guess maybe we are saved from something, but I think our focus shouldn't be maybe what we're saved from, but what we're saved into. What are we then saved into? And Paul goes into this, and let's look at three things that I want us to see from this text this morning with that idea of being saved into something. Yeah, saved from something. We get it, the fire insurance policy. We don't go to hell. We got out of hell free card, not exactly free, but we get that. But let's find out what we're maybe saved into. Run with me down to verse 9. Because if you confess, how many of you know what confess means? Really means? You confess. They always told me growing up, if you get caught, don't confess. And if you're caught red-handed, don't confess, point the finger at someone else. Yeah, you know, that was, maybe you grew up different. But the thing was, don't confess. And Benjamin Tycho Nichols, Maggie remembers BT was a good friend of mine, and he said, I hope I never get the kind of religion where you have to confess everything. He said it would be embarrassing for myself and a lot of other people. But it says to confess. To confess means to admit to. Confess means to say you do, to admit it. And you know, confessing takes a lot of humility. Number one, to confess that you're a sinner takes a lot of humility, or should. To admit you make mistakes takes a lot of humility. To confess means that you believe you're humbling, that you're coming down to that. And it says if we confess, that means we believe and we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. Now, that's the first step, isn't it? Did you know that the demons believe Jesus is Lord? The demons even confess that he's Lord. As a matter of fact, the demons once asked Jesus, what do you, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, what do you have to do with us? Have you come to torture us before our time? They confess it too. They confess it too. They believe it too. What is belief? What is belief? What is belief? How many of you have been to the North Pole? Come on, somebody. Greg, you hadn't been to the North Pole? North Pole. I'm talking about the big one. Up where the stake's at and where you can go and you can stand on the pivot of the earth. You know, it's not really there, but technically. Depends on the time of year. It moves around. So, but how many of you believe it exists? How come you believe? You ain't been there. You ain't seen it with your own two eyes. You haven't stomped on it with your own two feet. How many of you know what Photoshop is? I can even make me look good on Photoshop. Of course, it won't look much like me anymore. But if you don't know me, you wouldn't know it wasn't me, would you? Okay, I'm looking out here. I see some folks who are a little older. How many of you believe we really went to the moon? Why do you believe that bunch of stuff? I saw places in Arizona look just like that lunar surface. Haven't you? Oh, yeah, those rocks and all that stuff. I'd do that with a bulldozer. Yeah. So how do you know we went to the moon? Was you there? Did you take one small step? Did you? Folks, I got news for you. We lived in Florida, and I saw those lunar modules. They couldn't have brought back all the moon rocks that they've sold. So they got them rocks somewhere and said they were from the moon. Did you buy any of those by chance? Did you know that actually all the actual lunar samples are still the property of NASA and the science? So if you've bought moon rocks, I'm sorry, you've been duped. But you believed it, right? Did you know that the Catholic Church, and I'm not picking on Catholic, but I'll tell you this, they have sold enough splinters that were supposed to be part of the cross of Christ that they could have built a bridge over the Mississippi River. That wasn't that big of a cross, folks. Do you know how many wine chalices have been sold that were supposed to be the one of Jesus? Do you know? He only had one, and it wasn't a chalice. It was likely a bowl called a cup. We call it a cup because we drink coffee out of a coffee cup, right? So we kind of picture it like that. You got news for you, folks. If you have traveled much, you find out that a cup in most countries is a bowl. Am I close, Greg? You tip the saucer, tip the bowl. Yeah, think about it. We believe, how do we base it? You know, we believe things, and we profess things. We profess that which we believe, but how do we come to it? Somebody told us, didn't they? Somebody witnessed it to us. Somebody that we trusted for that witness, right? We maybe trusted NASA. Maybe we trust Neil Armstrong. Maybe we trust different ones. Maybe we trust their word, their witness. Maybe we trust the pictures. We trust the information. And once we trust that information that somebody has given us, whether it's encyclopedias or where, I don't guess anybody reads that anymore. Watch out for Wikipedia, by the way. You need to read that with a grain of salt. You really do. It ain't without flaws. If you're writing papers, kids, you're fixing to go back to school, I wouldn't use Wikipedia as a source. Be careful. Might be a good place to have a look, but it isn't so good anymore. But we believe because somebody told us. We read it, but somebody wrote it. We believe because somebody has witnessed to it that we trusted. And maybe we heard from more than one witness, and we believed, and then we profess. And Paul goes on to say, believe in your heart, what? Here's the saved part, that God raised Christ from the dead. If you'll profess that, believe that, take that knowledge in, move it into your heart, profess it, and believe that he is the Messiah, the living Lord. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. But you're saved into a relationship. That's important. Write that down somewhere. You're saved into a relationship. It's not just that you're saved from punishment and judgment and condemnation, but you're saved into a personal relationship with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. It moves within you. Verse 13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We confess it. We believe it. We profess it. But it takes humility. It takes real humility that people are a little bit afraid of today, I'm afraid. I'm afraid we've arrived at the age of pride and arrogance. I'm afraid we've arrived at the day when somebody admitting they were wrong is seen as weak and less than. It seems that to say I need Jesus in my life, we might be considered less than strong-willed individuals. We might even hear somebody quote Karl Marx, that religion is the opium of the masses. And then we live in this age of no responsibility. I call it the age of Adam. God comes to Adam and says, what's this? He said, well, it me. We live in that age, don't we? Everybody points their finger. And then we want a label stuck on them. My daddy was an alcoholic, so I can be one. My daddy beat his kid, so I can be one. All those labels and excuses so that we don't have to take responsibility. We want authority, but no responsibility. You know what we're really afraid of? Accountability. We're really afraid of that one. Somebody might hold us accountable. I got news for us as Christians. We're going to be held accountable. We're going to stand in front of God, and we're going to have to give an account for our faith and what we did with his son. Pastor, I don't like that. Well, it's in the book. It's part of it. Saved. Do you think that we get saved to sit? Or do we get saved to serve? We get saved to serve. We get saved to proclaim. And the last one is, blessed are the feet of those who come to bring the good news. The good news is that Jesus died and was resurrected for the sins of all humanity. Our call as Christians isn't to sit petrified on a pew, but to witness to our faith, not in what we do, but what God has done in us. If we believe, we'll begin to tell people about it. If we take it into heart, we'll have a conviction. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, why don't the church grow anymore? Well, I want to ask you this morning, why don't the church grow anymore? Who did you tell about Jesus this week? Not who did you point your finger at, but who did you tell about the love and grace of Jesus Christ in your life that they would believe? How can they believe, Paul says, if we don't tell them? Where did we witness this week? Pastor, I just can't believe our numbers are off. Who did you invite? Who did you offer to bring? Well, that's what we pay you for. Great. I'm one. We're many. You're not saved to see it. We're saved to serve. We're saved to proclaim. What are we supposed to proclaim? Don't proclaim yourself. I don't proclaim Jim. Because I got news for you. I done made 22 mistakes this morning. I've been up a little while, but probably maybe more than that. That's the ones I remember. Oh, no, I can't stand up and say Jim's got it all together because I don't. Lord only knows I don't have it together. I make 10 million mistakes a day. How many of you don't make mistakes? How many of you know somebody that don't make any? How many people do you know that somebody that won't admit they make any? That's what I thought. You know, the person that don't make mistakes is the one that don't do anything. That's the only way not to make one. Maybe don't get out of bed, but then that's a mistake. You know, so go back to bed, maybe. I shouldn't have, you know. It's all about that, isn't it? You know, I talked about the struggle. And I talked about the progression and not perfection. We talked about how faith develops. But it begins that we believe it. We get the information. We hear the good news. We accept it. We believe it. We bring it from here to our heart. You know, that's only about 12 inches, but sometimes it takes a long time to get that, you know, to get it into where we can profess it. One question I often ask people, and I get accused of being blunt for doing this. I'll just flat ask somebody, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah, yeah. You know, the demons believed in him because I always have question number two. Do you believe in him as your Lord and Savior? I sort of believe something like that. You know, I get all kinds of answers to that one. It's fun. But I get by with that. You might not get by with that. I'm a pastor, so they kind of expect those things. But have we told anybody what he's done for us? We're saved to serve, not sit. We're to be the bearers of the good news of grace and love into the pain of the world that's around us. Folks, have you paid attention? Have you looked around? You don't have to look far to find somebody struggling with finances, struggling with addictions, struggling with health issues, struggling in some way that needs to hear the message of Christ. Rock Springs, Wyoming is where we are, and that's where God's calling us. Every single one of us who believe in Jesus, accept him in our hearts, and profess him as our Savior, believe that he is the Son of God, that he lived, died, and was resurrected, are called to give that good news message to the world around us. Every one of us, God puts somebody in our life and in our path that we can witness that to. You're saved into a relationship. And God's about relationships, isn't he? He's about letting you get to know someone that you can share that message with. He's about that message giving hope. You're saved into a relationship to share God's love and grace through that. Don't expect perfection. Don't judge your neighbor. That's God's job. But love them. Sometimes it's hard to love some people. Some people don't want you to love them. But God calls us to love them. So I want you to think about something this morning. I want to call you to do something besides sitting. I want you to find one person this week to tell Jesus, to tell about Jesus. One person. One person. Don't tell them about you. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus did for you. What has Jesus done for you this morning? Have you thought about it? Has he sustained you through difficult and dark times? Has he given you options and opportunities? Maybe you didn't take them. Can you tell somebody what Jesus has done for you? They call my group in cardiology the 30s, the 30 percenters. Was doing a little research online, and we're quite a group, by the way. Did you know that? People who have a 30% or so heart function. There's a lot of us still around. Of course, sometimes we don't stay long, but you know, we're still around. And Greg was right. He said the other night at church council meeting, it's always better to be seen than viewed. You know, so I'm glad you can still see me. But we're 30 percenters. Do you realize that you have faults and failures and shortcomings? But that shouldn't stop you from witnessing and sharing. That should actually be what you witness and share about. And which you humble yourself before. Carrie and I went up to, how many of you have been to Green River Lakes? Why have the rest of you not been? It's gorgeous. You get up there, you're in the end of the Wind Rivers. Flat top mountains back in there, snuggled back in there. Oh my. But I got news for you. When you walk in from the campground there at the end of the road, it's a long ways. Especially for a 30 percenter. And Carrie and I went up there, and the storms kind of eased up on us a little bit. Carrie called it probably our last summer hoorah. You know, it's kind of our last place we can get away to. And we spent the night, and, you know, it's a little unnerving when you go out and you look at your campsite, and we didn't stay in the campground. We just kind of got over to the side before you get to the campground. And bear claws, you know, I got pictures, just took the whole side of the tree off, you know, to get into the bugs, and you could see the claw marks. And that's where we spent the night. We figured they'd already been here. There ain't nothing to come back for. And I certainly don't smell like a buffet for a bear, I don't think. We were going down this trail, and it's not a hard walk. And I kept saying, just a little further. I should stop. Just a little further. And Carrie would say, I think we've gone far enough. I said, just a little further. I want to see, Wyoming is the darndest place to hike in the world. Because you think when you get up there, you're going to see what you want to see. But there's another hill over there. It's a delusion. And it's just going to keep you going and going and going. But finally, we got to where we could see it. The lakes, the mountains. Thank God that he let me see it. Folks, sometimes the struggle is difficult, but it's worth it. Sometimes it's worth it to admit to someone you make mistakes. And you know what else I like about being a Christian? We don't get called out on strikes. If we humble ourselves before God, we get to start over. Some people need to hear that. They've never gotten so far away that Jesus can't bring them back. Saved? Yeah. Go share the good news. Go share it. But before you can share it, it's got to be good news to you. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. And we'll let Sue play, because I have a couple things for you to meditate on, maybe in light of the service, the sermon, or just to think about. I've decided I'm not so Methodist as I am Wesleyan. I'm going to ask you a Wesleyan question. How is it with your soul? How's your relationship with Jesus? I'm not talking about your relationship with others. You get the one with Jesus, and that other stuff will work out. How is it? Have you taken it from the belief to the heart, to the profession? Are you ready to tell somebody about your Savior? Or have you just taken the save from approach and not taken the save to approach? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. Pastor, I'm struggling with the whole thing. Pray for me this week. I want to pray for you. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Don't leave it up. Amen. Pastor, I don't know how to witness. I pray that Jesus will help me with that. Slip your hand up so I can pray for you this week. Amen. Pastor, I have witnessed and it just don't seem to be doing anything. Pray for me to figure out how to do it different. If that's you, share that. Amen. Pastor, I've got stuff I'm just so struggling with. I need some prayer. Stuff's going on in my family and in my life and in my mind. And Father, I just need your prayers this morning. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you especially this week. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I have so many doubts and fears. So many struggles. I don't know why God would love me at all. If that's you, I really want to pray for you this way. I feel like that's somebody here this morning. If that's you, slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I don't know what to think of all of it. Pray for me. If that's you, amen. Pastor, I'm going to pray for others this week, and I'm going to do my best to witness to somebody. If that's you, would you slip a hand up this morning? Amen. Our gracious and loving God, may you hear our hearts and prayers today. And may we go from saved to proclaiming the good news and to witness to our faith in you. Hear our hearts and prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Send forth by God's blessing our true faith confessing, the people of God from this dwelling take leave. The service is ended, oh now be extended, the fruits of our worship in all who believe. The seed of the teaching receive.
May you go now to share the good news and grace of Jesus Christ into the world around you, with your family, friends, co-workers, wherever God has placed you. May you find an opportunity to share the love of Christ with each other. And now may grace and peace go with you. May the Holy Spirit fill you afresh. And may you go to know Christ in you and through you as you serve Him each and every day. And truly, may that grace which is in Christ go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.